Welcome back to the afternoon show here on 980 CFPL. I'm your host, Jess Brady. We're into the final hour of today's program. My goodness, it goes by so quickly every day. And then the weeks fly by as well. I have to say, the last 2 weeks have definitely flown. I cannot believe. I think it's just the abundance of news that's been going on. It makes time kind of blur. I know people who are working from home feel similarly. They start to say, what day is it? Yeah, been there for sure. Well, speaking of, you know, being at home, a lot of you have furry friends with you while you're self-isolating and, you know, keeping up that good physical distancing. So your pets have been keeping you company, which I'm very envious of. I do not have a pet, even though I would love one. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. One day I will. But what happens if you become ill? What happens, let's say, if you do get COVID-19? Does that change how you interact with your pet? Well, perhaps you should consider it. Someone joining us on the line right now to give us some insight into that question exactly is Dr. Ian Sandler. He's a member of the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association's National Issues Committee. Dr. Sandler, thanks so much for taking some time this afternoon to join us.
It's my pleasure. It's nice to be with you.
Well, hey, I mean, I've been having such great conversations with many, many people over the last few weeks, and I've learned a lot, and I'm excited to talk with you today because animals, dogs especially, are like my favorite thing, essentially, and I'm always intrigued to find out about how different issues impact them, and COVID-19 is no different. There are, I should say, a few things that we should keep in mind with how this virus may impact our pets. Isn't that true?
No question. I mean, this is certainly unprecedented time for us, and just so many different areas of interest and science on COVID-19 is evolving quickly. We're learning more and more about the virus and how it works. I think most importantly, you know, the big take-home messages are that most viruses are species-specific. So there have been some discussions and some case reports as recently as just a few days ago with some of the tigers within the the Bronx Zoo converting to positive cases from they think keepers that were positive for COVID-19 themselves are certainly shedding the virus. So, you know, the biggest question we get is can my cat or dog get it, and what are the dangers? And the reality is we think, you know, at least within the household setting, the dangers are very, very low. Certainly for dogs, we think it's incredibly low, and the same for cats. In reality, though, if you are shedding the virus, and certainly if you're actively sick with COVID-19, you have to remember that it's the ecosystem that we're trying to protect. So this whole idea of social distancing is really trying to ensure that we, if we are sick, are not transmitting the virus. The real big issue with dogs and cats, if they're very close to somebody who is actively shedding viral particles, primarily from their upper respiratory tract, is that it's possible that those particles could rest on the fur of the pet. And ultimately, if that dog then goes out in a walk, or cat for that matter, theoretically, if somebody comes up to them and pats their fur, that is one way for transference. We don't know how long the virus actually can be active, if you will, on the coats. You know, it's potentially a few hours to a few days. But in reality, if you're in isolation, you really should be isolated from your loved ones. And sadly, that includes your pets for 14 days.
It's a tough reality or pill to swallow, I suppose, but it is probably the very best thing that you can do just to be, you know, as safe as possible. I know that I was out for a walk a couple weeks ago, and someone with an adorable corgi was walking towards me, and so cute. And I didn't pet it, even though I wanted to, because I had heard that best practices, you know, just don't, because you're not sure if, you know, how much the virus could survive on the coat potentially. So just out of an abundance of caution, didn't pet the dog. I mean, the dog doesn't mind. He'll go on and have lots of fun with his own family. But it's tough, you know. I couldn't imagine not being able to interact with my own pet. That would be pretty hard.
It really is. From a human interaction perspective, and pets are such a big part of our family. And, you know, the CVMA represents over 12,000 of Canadian hardworking veterinarians in all different aspects of practice and care across the country. And obviously for us to be in the situation where, yes, we're deemed essential services and we're here to provide, you know, emergency care as needed to ensure that your prescriptions can still be attained for your pet. I mean, these are really important times to allow Canadian pet owners to know, hey, we are here. But the reality is dog parks and regular parks are closing, you know, all over Ontario and certainly in other provinces. And the reason that is you don't want people or large groups of people meeting together. And I think the government is clearly understanding that it is so critical to try and flatten the curve as best as they can now to really prevent that overwhelming situation within the healthcare system, especially in terms of ventilators. And so we know the older folks within society are more serious in terms of the types of cases because possibly their immune systems are a little more weak, and we really don't want them to be in a situation where suddenly, similar to what we're seeing in old age homes, where in these long-term care facilities we're having these massive outbreaks within a very, very vulnerable population. So this idea of social isolation and staying home, it's so critical to helping our neighbors out. And I think at the end of the day, we all have a grandparent or a loved one that's a little bit older. And, you know, in reality, we're seeing some significant cases, even amongst young people. And so, no, this is not just a virus that's going to, attack people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. We're seeing people in their 30s as well, very, very healthy, that are becoming quite sick. So at the end of the day, pets are really just an extension of our family unit. And so when you think about social distancing, and certainly if you're thinking about isolation, it's just so important to think of them as part of that unit.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Sandler, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon to, share your knowledge and your insight on this. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and I wish you a wonderful rest of your day and lots of health and well-being for your family.
Likewise, and to you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye. That's Dr. Ian Sandler, member of the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association's National Issues Committee, telling us that if you are COVID-19 positive, avoid your pets just out of an abundance of caution. It's probably for the best. We need to take a break for traffic and weather. When we come back, we're staying on the puppy topic, this time checking in with St. John Ambulance and their therapy dogs, how they are still finding ways to bring comfort even when they can't be physically with clients. That's coming up after the break on 980 CFPL.